Blog Talk Radio. Hello, and welcome to Open Book, your weekly spiritual book club. This is Alice Shelton, and joining me as always and happily in this new year, 2016, is my friend Lori Strawn. Hi, Lori.
Hey, Alice.
Well, Happy New Year to you, my friend.
Happy New Year right back at you.
Thank you. Well, as our introduction to the show says online, I always think about introspection. Isn't that funny? Think about introspection. I'm such a funny one. Anyway, I do think about, I am more introspective at the beginning of the year and as the year comes to a close, and I tend to make all these New Year's resolutions, and they almost always involve writing more or journaling more or taking time to kind of examine and reflect upon my thoughts. So I suspect I'm not the only one in the world who does that. So what I decided we'd do today for our show, Lori, is take some quotations about journaling, and some of them have a lot of spiritual over or undertones, and I'm sure we will tease those out, but I'd like us to talk about those some and just kind of share a little bit about our experiences individually as journalers. So you okay with that?
Yeah, it sounds great.
Okay. Well, this first quotation, and these are kind of in random order, this first one is from Pat Conroy from a book called My Reading Life, and it's very short. Writing is the only way I have to explain my own life to myself. Lori, I know you are a writer by both hobby and profession, so I think you can probably speak very, very well to this. Do you always, or do people always write about themselves when they are writing, whether journaling or otherwise? Or is there, in fact, the possibility of true fiction that is not autobiographical in some way?
You know, I thought about this, and it really does depend on what sort of writing I'm doing. My first thought was, oh, I don't really write about my own life. My characters just kind of come to me and ask to be heard. And I find my own life kind of uninteresting, which is why I'm a very poor correspondent. But then, through writing about other people, I think I do dig into my own issues. You know, childhood, mini traumas, awkward adolescence, whatever. And then there's my blog, which is different in that I explain my belief system and sort of cement it for myself. And I would put poetry in that category, too, because it gives my emotions a grandeur, I guess, that they wouldn't ordinarily have. So in some ways, my writing not only explains my life, it improves it.
Huh.
That makes
sense. Yeah,
in some
ways, yeah, it does, because I've often wondered within myself if some of my writing, even journal, although I try to be honest in my journals, but, you know, how honest are any of us really? You know, I mean, we still only see half the light,
sure,
even in ourselves. But I have wondered often if writing in some ways isn't just telling the story of your life, whether you lived it or not. You know, it may have just been the life you wished you'd live or the way you thought things would go and didn't. Well, it's kind of interesting to explore. Interesting to explore. I'm interested, though, in we do, I think, as writers, whether we're journaling or writing something more serious, although I would posit to you that journaling is serious writing, and we
talk
about that a little more. But I am interested always in the lens that we write through or view life through. Do you think that's a different lens when you're journaling than when you're doing other types of writing?
Yes, I think it's a looser lens in some ways. I think there are fewer things that you allow to get in your way. I think it's more free-flowing when you're journaling. I think you let things come that ordinarily you might filter out if you were writing with a focus and a different kind of intent.
So, you know, the description you and I have given of both having had times where you write and then you read something after you're finished and you really have no conscious awareness of
right.
having done it or where it came from. Is that the same as unfiltered writing? I mean, is that the same thing you're describing or not?
Not quite. I think by unfiltered, I just mean I sort of let my brain do whatever. You know, it doesn't matter if the sentence structure is any good. It doesn't matter if the paragraph flows. None of that stuff matters. I just let come what comes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, on the other hand, yeah, some of that I will then reread and think, wow, that's, you know, pretty intense. But some of that could be things that I really feel that I'm working on, that I'm really crafting and shaping. And then I read it again and think, boy, that didn't come from me. That's way too much.
Yeah. That's a funny feeling. Well, when you're journaling, do you feel it as or want it to be a prayer experience or a spiritual experience, or is that just depend?
It depends. My journaling is, I use that term so very loosely. I've got stacks and stacks of old journals that I've kept since, I think my first one was seventh grade. But it, what's in them is not mostly, dear diary, here's what I did today. It's sketches, it's lists, it's here's things I want to take on this trip. It's notes to myself. It's
mm-hmm.
just things that were interesting to me at the time that I stuck between the pages. It's very loose.
Gotcha.
So, yeah, it's not as structured, I think, as most people's journals are.
Yeah, I would say mine are the same way, and I find it interesting that in of all the things in my year, in 2016 is my year of addressing and working through and letting go of attachments, be they spiritual, physical stuff, issues I need to deal with people, whatever. The journals and my personal writings are not on the table for that at all. I mean, they just aren't. They're nothing that I have ever thought I would cull through and get rid of. So
right.
in some ways, you know, whether you ever really write the story of your life, I think you do when you
yeah.
journal, and I journal like you do. I mean, a lot of it's just kind of a way of looking at my life. And I like to look back because at times when I look back, I absolutely don't recognize the woman I was when I wrote some of it. Do you have that experience?
Exactly. Oh, yeah. We were just talking before the show, listeners, about this. I grabbed one of my journals at random from the closet where they're kept, and it appears to be from 1983. And it's hilarious, the stuff that's in here. I have
mm-hmm.
my humanities test from December 14th, 1983. I don't know why I kept that. I've got old placemats. I've got pictures. I've got poems. That's why I always kept the old journals. I always thought one day I'm going to go through and really cull all the poetry that I've put in there because there's probably some good things in there. But
oh,
I never
yeah.
have. But, yeah, it's kind of funny to see who this person was.
Yeah. And to really, even through the eyes of that are the age we are now, to think about and imagine why those certain things would have been important, you know, because you obviously had to have some reason for selecting the things you just named that you've saved
mm-hmm.
with that.
Yeah.
But, you know, who knows now? I have read back through some journals from, like, early high school, and some of them are these absolutely passionate love poems. And
it,
I chuckle because as I read them, I have no idea who they are about, you know? I mean,
I'm
sure that whoever the object of my affection was at that time, whatever young grade school or high school boy that was, you know, but it's like, it's so funny that thing, you hear the phrase, things that used to break your heart, you can't even remember now. I mean,
oh my
oh
gosh.
Well.
Yeah, my seventh grade journal. I was so sad about being flat chested. And now I look back and think, you poor dumb kid. If only somebody had said to you, you're going to be fine, it's just going to take a while.
Oh, my God, Lori, I just spilled coffee on myself laughing at that. That is hilarious. Oh, well, that's a little joke between us. We can't really tell our listeners what we're talking about.
No.
Very cute. Well, let's move on to our next quotation before we go down a hilarious road. This one is Virginia Woolf, and it's not attributed to any specific book or anything, but just something she has been known to say. The habit of writing for my eye is good practice. It loosens the ligaments. So she's speaking here, I assume, just about journaling, which is why I picked it. What is it good practice for? Just writing?
I like seeing how words come together in ways that are pleasing to me. Yes, I do think it makes you a better writer, but it also kind of hones your style. It's what makes you different from any other writer. What pleases your eye may not please my eye. And then I tend to factor in my ears as well. So not just how words sound together, but, you know, do they have a rhythm? Do they have a flow? What is the effect of that? Does that help? Does that hinder? My husband bought me this book of Emily Dickinson's poems, but it's on the original papers on which she wrote them. And there's no commentary at all. It's just pieces of paper with the poems scribbled on them. And in many, many cases, she gives like six alternatives for a single word, you know, just stacked on top of one another. Someone at some point, since everything was published after her death, decided which of those words would go in the poem.
And
what I love to do is go through and say, you know, what would I have done? Would I have done it differently? And, yeah, I do it differently a lot of times.
Well, when you reference the sound of your writing, so is that the sound to your eyes, or do you physically read things aloud to hear and feel and quote-unquote see those things that you're describing?
I don't read it aloud, but I hear it in my head the same way when you're reading a book. You hear it in your head.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay,
so
that's
just
an interesting comment. Yeah. That makes sense. I don't read my journals aloud, although I have read some of my writing aloud just to hear it, particularly if I've had to write remarks for something that I am going to speak.
Right.
Yeah, interesting. Interesting. You know, it's not that I don't like Virginia Woolf. It's just I have not had a lot of experience reading her work, and I have not found it to be particularly, you know, easy, relaxing work.
No.
But that's an author that I have in my, someday when I'm retired and have more time and wine or something, I don't know.
And we could have that conversation about Eudora Welty, because I just read another of her books, and boy, do we need to talk.
Oh, yeah. Bless your heart. You're better than I am. I don't know that I could. Well, let's hope our dear teacher, Rosemary Nutt, is not listening. She would be so disappointed.
Indeed.
Well, she would. This next quotation is by a very famous saint who I think we've probably talked about a number of times, Saint Augustine. And it's from his book, The Confessions, which is, if you've never read that, that's a heavy tome to get through. I've not gotten through it all.
Dear.
Oh, we did? Well,
yes, we did.
That's a deep marker on my psyche, as you can tell, because I don't remember it. Well, then this quotation will be familiar to you. So here it goes, Lori. Why, then, do I set before you an ordered account of so many things? It's certainly not through me that you know them. But I'm stirring up love for you in myself and in those who read this, so that we may all say, great is the Lord and highly worthy to be praised. I tell my story for love of your love. Well, obviously, St. Augustine here is talking to God, writing to God, or writing things that are for God, I think, as he's journaling. Tell me how you respond to this just in general. I think more about what you think Augustine was setting before as the ordered account of things. You know, what do you think he was writing down?
Well, in the Confessions, it's a story of how he came to God, mostly. I mean, if I had to define it in briefly. And I think what he's setting down is his journey to knowing God and how reflective that is of his love for God and how that has grown and changed. For me, it's more about a love of storytelling and sharing that kind of love and sharing how strongly I feel about things or believe in things. Not to push them on somebody else, but because I feel so strongly about God and love and how empowering that should be. It's the same reason I do the show, and I want to share that joy. I think it's something that should be shared, and that hopefully other people will fall in love with stories or faith or literature or God or whatever it is that I'm talking about. That's the goal.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting that you bring that up because, especially since, I mean, you and I have said for a while now that we have continued doing this show as long as we have for ourselves, and that it's never been about an audience for us. It's never been about, you know, the massive amount of money we get paid, ha-ha, our huge audience, ha-ha. But it is interesting to me to hear myself either in the present moment or listening to archived versions of our show, it's interesting that I learn about myself from listening to myself.
Yeah.
And I learn about you from listening to you, but I've been surprised at how much I've learned about myself as I've gone through this process, which is very much like journaling, I think.
Yeah. In fact, I think we don't reflect, while we're speaking, we're not reflecting on what we're saying. So you almost have to go back and listen to know what you said.
Yeah, I think so. And just to thread back a little bit into Augustine, you know, I have questioned the use of the word confessions as the title of that work because I don't really think about, because to me confessions has such a connotation of sin reporting, where really confessions is just a way of intimate personal storytelling.
Sure.
And so I was thinking someday, I mean, I think Open Book is a great title, but I think confessions would have also been an interesting title for our show.
I think that's what it's led to.
Mm-hmm.
Many confessions.
Yeah, I really do too. Yeah. Confession and profession. Well, I will have to go back and, you know, try and get back through for the second time confessions, since I clearly read that in humanities when we were freshmen in college. So. Okay, well, this next one, I'm probably most interested in this next quotation of all of them that I selected, and this one's from a book called Leaving a Trace on Keeping a Journal, and it's by Alexandra Johnson. It's very short. Successful journals break the deadlock of introspective obsession. Let me read it again. Successful journals break the deadlock of introspective obsession. So I guess first, Lori, I want to understand what you understand by the concept of the deadlock of introspective obsession.
You'd think that they would feed into introspective obsession. You know, you're writing about your life. Oh, you know, you're so into your mind and into your life and, in, you know, how important that is. But it really doesn't. I suppose, like anything, it can be overindulged in. But I think journaling helps you work through things so they don't fester and grow and become obsessive. It helps you cut out the garbage because you have to focus your thoughts somewhat to put them on paper. I would say I don't tend to attack my problems head on in my journals, at least not since high school, but even just doodling or poetry or strings of words can get rid of negative energy, bring in positive energy, bring me out of the funk that I'm in, and bring me back to myself.
Yeah, I agree. And this was one of those pieces of written words put together that I just thought, voila. I mean, I would never have said it this way. I would never have come to these words myself, I don't think. But I totally agree with what you're saying. It's like journaling introduces some objectivity to the complete subjectivity of oneself.
Yes.
it's almost oxymoronic to me that it can happen that way. Because
yeah.
I even list making, and you kind of alluded to this, I mean, it's like getting things out of your mind onto paper releases them in some way from the
exactly.
just the grind of that, you know, whatever it
also
is.
Also, seeing things on paper sometimes makes you say, oh, for Pete's sake, you know, what am I thinking? That's
yes.
the silliest thing I've ever seen.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And I think that's why you hear about therapeutic processes or spiritual processes or things that happen on retreats where you're asked to write something down on paper that you want to let go of or that you want to make progress on, and then physically burn that slip of paper or release it in some way, or you know, put it in a balloon and send it off or whatever. I mean, I think that's why during Lent we often during Lenten. Services, you are asked to write down sins and then go and have them burned in
mm-hmm.
kind of a common fire. I mean, there's just some, it's kind of the same concept. I think this has a lot of applicability on a lot of levels, not just journaling. I think this will be a quotation that I come back to a lot in my life.
Yeah.
Any more comments on this one before I move on?
No, we can move on.
Okay, cool. Well, I think I'm going to go to the one by Carolyn Hamilton, which is from a book called Art Improv 101, How to Create a Personal Art Journal, which is kind of an interesting concept. You've talked about doodling, so it's more than just
mm-hmm.
writing. Her quotation is, "Documenting little details of your everyday life becomes a celebration of who you are." Do you tend to focus journaling on celebrating yourself, or is that just sort of a happened outcome? Or is this even something you think is true?
It's funny because my immediate reaction is, I don't really write about myself, you know. But then, wow, digging through this old journal, it's really all about me. It's, you
mm-hmm.
know, not so much the details of my life as ideas, dreams, things that struck my fancy, song lyrics, poems, sketches, lists. Freshman year of college, I wrote down every message that was ever put on my dry erase board. I don't know
oh
why.
Oh, my gosh.
I guess because they were so interesting to me. But I wrote them
yeah.
all down. So I guess it is sort of a celebration of the minutiae of my life, the stuff on the edges, the stuff that I guess doesn't really belong anywhere else. And maybe that's why I've kept them all these years. You know?
Well, I think that's a wonderful chronicle of life. I mean, if you think about the oldest, you know, some of the oldest quote-unquote memories or history that we have are because people took the time to write those things down,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yep.
I mean, yeah, it's that's probably one of my biggest fears about the way we communicate with one another now. And certainly, you know, as they say, email never goes away. It'll be there. It'll probably be there after, you know, carbon dies. But it's not the same. It's not the same for me to happen upon an email that my mom wrote me in a saved file as it is to come across her handwriting on something.
I bet.
You know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, so I would say while I, this is a little segue, but while I wouldn't tell someone not to journal in typewritten word, I do think the physical act of writing and taking pen to paper or drawing or coloring or doodling is an important part of it for me. That's part of the
oh,
art
yeah.
of it for me.
I totally agree with that. And in fact, when I was thinking about these quotations, I wrote them down. I wrote down my thoughts in pen, something I don't do very much anymore, you know, because the keyboard's right there and I do most of my writing on a computer. But when I was a kid, everything was handwritten. I mean, my first novels were all handwritten. Everything was, you know, I didn't use a typewriter for many, many years. And I just liked the expressiveness of writing longhand.
See, I've learned something about you today because I would have assumed you did all your first drafts in pen and paper, pencil and paper, and you. But you don't now. You use a computer for
not,
some of
yeah,
your.
Yeah, not anymore.
Yeah.
But I sure used to.
That's interesting. Yeah, but for me, if I have to do something that is in any way personal or creative, now business writing, although even business writing, sometimes I will draft it on paper just because I like the physical motion of it, and it sparks something in my mind in terms of creativity and order. And visually, I like to, even editing, I like to do with it printed on the page, printed out, even if I've typed it, I like to print it out and then mark it. Like, you should see the sheet that I have our quotations on today. I mean, I'm doodling all over it, writing words on it. It's a weird thing. It's like it keeps me focused, even though it doesn't seem like it should. It's kind of like that deadlock of introspective obsession thing.
Mm-hmm.
Funny. Well, let's do our last one because we're getting close on time. Wow.
Yeah.
That's another beauty of our time together to me is that I'm never marking the time. I'm never looking for it to be over fast. It's always over before I mean for it to be.
Oh, yeah.
It's a good sign of friendship. Well, here's our last one for today. It's by Adam Feldman from a book called Journaling, Catalyzing Spiritual Growth Through Reflection. This is what you do when you journal. You are recording God's grand, epic-spanning, redemptive story as it unfolds in your limited, temporal sphere of existence here on Earth. Your journal has the potential to record the continuation of the Holy Spirit's work in our world. Now, I would say I slightly paraphrased that when I talked about journal and history, but what do you think about that? Your journal has the potential to record the continuation of the Holy Spirit's work in our world.
I'm going to just
say, does that ever cross your mind?
Let's focus on potential, the word potential, because it sounds awfully, awfully grand for a pile of old spiral notebooks, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, yes, yeah. I would certainly say that journals record the unfolding of the Holy Spirit's work in my life, in your life, in the life of the person who's writing it. And the journals of the very great people, great saints, Thomas Merton, Therese, would definitely, those do record the work of the Holy Spirit in the world. I mean, they've influenced spiritual thought for generations on end. So I think the word potential is what we have to really look at here.
Yeah. But, you know, Laura, at the end of our lives, I mean, who knows who might remember the greatness of the impact we had as similar to that of Thomas Merton or, I mean, who knows? I mean, we just don't know. It's an interesting concept to me. I think it's very humbling to hear the words limited temporal sphere of existence here on Earth. I mean, that kind of makes you think, well, we get pretty mired down in our own wonderfulness and in our own, the importance of our daily work, but, you know, at the end of the day, we're pretty small things. But if we don't do something to record our lives and make something of our lives, we probably don't have the potential to impact the continuation of the Holy Spirit's work in our world.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. It's kind of interesting.
Yeah.
I definitely think journaling is an important part of spiritual growth for people who are really trying to work on that. So I would encourage people to be exploring that. And that, I haven't read the book by Feldman, but I think it seemed like a good one to maybe start with if you were wanting to start a journal and do it with the purpose of spiritual growth. So that's just my recommendation of a book I have never read. So, well, Lori, our time's about up, and I'm rambling as I often do at the end of our shows. But we're happy to be together again next week. And do you have any idea yet what you're thinking about for our topic?
None at all.
Okay. I'm going to stop asking that question. I'm really going to try. But until then, next week, if you're looking for God, we hope that you'll just open a book, and we've appreciated our time together and with you this week. Have a great week. Bye-bye.